I used to have couples that would walk into my office after I had done the premarital counseling, and they would talk about something that I had never had in my premarital counseling before, so I had to add it to help them. Because what would happen is I would do this premarital counseling. In a few weeks, sometimes a month or so, after a couple had been married, they would want to meet with me again. And the wife would walk in with this harried look on her face, and the husband would walk in dragging his tail between his legs. And the wife would sit on the edge of the chair and go, "Pastor Steve, we've got a problem." And the guy's just sitting there, just covered up in guilt. And I go, "What's the seem of the problem? What seems to be the problem?" "Oh, Pastor Steve, I married a sex fiend." "You did? Dude, are you looking at porn?" "No, I swear." "Well, what's the problem?" "He wants to have sex with me all the time." "What's wrong with him?" "Nothing. He's a good Christian boy. He's been waiting a long time for this, honey. Strap in." But you may not have been told that. You thought, and some of you have been married for a long time. You didn't know. You thought your husband was a sex fiend. There's something wrong with him. Why does he want to have sex with me all the time? Because you're in the room. Ladies, you got to understand, when we were first married to you, you walked by, we were interested. If you walked by in a towel, you better run for your life. And if we see you naked, it's game on. Right? Right, guys, you see your wife naked, it's like, that's an invitation. But guys, it doesn't work the same way around. Like, when you look at your wife and she's naked, it's like a beautiful piece of art. And when you're naked, don't go, "Hey, baby, don't do that to her." She's like, "Oh, I think I threw up in my mouth a little bit, okay?" Because while she looks like a beautiful work of art, you look like a goat. Right? And it's stuff that you need to talk about. And it's in the Bible. Do you know that God created sex? You do know that, right? For you religious people. God made Adam, and then he made Eve, and he said, "Go have sex." What do you think "be fruitful and multiply" means? "Hey, guys, go pick some berries, do some algebra, and I'll grade your paper." No, chicka chicka bow wow, go get you some. And Adam's thrilled, you know? He's wrapping his arm around Eve, walking away, giving God a thumbs up. "Thank you." And he's back 5 minutes later going, "What's a headache?" It's all in the Bible. Have y'all ever read Song of Solomon? Baby, come on. that's like listening to a Barry White record, man. Do you know what the Song of Solomon is? They're having sex and they're talking about it. But it's weird stuff, you know? Some of it's kind of like, huh? But I read it. I wasn't a Christian growing up, so I read it. I didn't know what it was, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, dang. And then there was this one line: "I want to climb up and get a cluster of your grapes. I'll go with you." The stuff that you need to talk about. Well, I promised you something, and I hope to deliver. I'm working on a new book right now, and it should be out sometime later this year, probably close to Christmas. I love people. I'm fascinated with people, and I want people to get along. And more than anything, I want marriages to get along, because I believe that when Jesus says, "All men will know you're my disciples by the way you love each other," and that's husband and wives first. Because when two sinners can share the same roof and still love each other, man, that's a miracle. Right? You with me? And so what I did was, as I started doing, when I would take people on missions trips and stuff, to get them to get along in a short amount of time under a lot of heavy difficulties and a lot of heavy pressure, what I would do is I would use personality profiles, but they weren't working. Because what happens, if you ever take a personality profile, this is what always happens. Once you learn your personality, for most people, it's a get-out-of-jail-free card. Well, that's just the way I am. However, when another person has a different personality that you don't necessarily get along with, that person has to change, and they've got a problem. It's just the way I am, but that's just not the way you are. You've got to change, and it's really weird. And it kind of labels people. It kind of boxes them in. It doesn't give them an opportunity to grow. And if you're using a series of numbers or letters or random shapes or things that are just random and disconnected, you have a hard time remembering what those letters mean. So I started taking middle school kids on trips, and I wanted them to get along. So I developed a personality profile, and I did the research and everything. And I don't do I didn't read other books. Like, I don't watch other comics. People say, you know, why don't you watch other comics? Because I don't want to inadvertently steal their material. You know, I don't want to hear something and think, oh, I came up with it. You know, like, you people are like, you ever heard of John Christen? I go, yeah. You know, I go, I just, you know, I don't want to steal his material. He steals mine. But anyway, I'm sorry. That's my John Christ joke because I hate him. Anyway, he's a punk. I've been doing this since 1976, and y'all never heard of me, but you heard of John Christ, haven't you? I hate that guy. But anyway, I'm teasing. He's a wonderful person, I'm sure. But anyway, he's a good guy. I wanted people to remember it, get along, and to use information and everything so that they could be warm toward each other. So I didn't read any of the other things, how to do it. I did my own research and I did my own psychological research. I'm not a psychologist or anything like that, but I went on, you know, websites and journals and all the different things, and I started looking around. And what I did was is I decided that I was going to attach cuddly characters from my childhood to help me not only accept who I am, but also have a little bit of endearing quality for the other person. So my personality profile is simply called, I forgot to do this. Let me explain to you why I did it. Guess who's already at the airport? I'm sorry. I apologize. I predicated it on this verse. My personality profile for you tonight is predicated on this verse. It's Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, in which he has prepared in advance for us to do. And basically what that scripture says is you have a destiny. You. Not all y'all. You know, in the South, we have y'all and all y'all. I'm talking about you. I want you to individually understand this. This is for you. Yes, it's corporate, but until you understand that it's for you, you don't understand it. Because you think that your destiny is not as important as somebody else's. Are you kidding me? Then why did God waste his space and time on you if your destiny is not just as important as anybody else's? My destiny, you know what my destiny is? Simply this, to help other people fulfill their destinies. You know what a gut punch that is? I wanted to be famous. I wanted to be a rich and famous comic. And my destiny is helping other people fulfill their destinies. And guess what? I like it. I like that. I'm good with that. But it's not the meaning of the verse that I want to get you to. It's that word, workmanship. Because Jesus is a carpenter. We all think of something wooden or a piece of furniture that's rigid or anything, and it's just kind of rigid and stiff, but that's not what that word means. That word workmanship doesn't mean something that is hammered or glued together. In the Greek, this is what it means. You ready? A symphony with lyrics. That's amazing. Do you know how complicated a symphony is? A symphony all on its own is amazing. You have all this orchestration from kettle drums down to piccolos, right? You've got, it speeds up, it slows down, it gets really loud, it gets really soft, and all these moving parts, and then you add to it lyrics. Wow, that's you. That's me. Wow. Man, you're complicated, aren't you? And in that complication, there's also a simplicity to you. And this is what I want to do. I want to draw your attention to who you are, who your spouse is, who other people around you, using these cuddly characters from my childhood. And my personality profile in my new book is simply called Who the Pooh Are You? And what I want to do is I want to take the opportunity to take four Winnie the Pooh, introduce you to four Winnie the Pooh characters that you're already familiar with and attach you to them and their personality. Now, Eeyore's not up there. Eeyore is a mental disorder called manic depression. Okay, now we're really giggling a little bit, but I'm going to say something very seriously. If you battle depression, please don't battle it alone. Please get help. I'm always depressed, and you know what? There's a problem. You're not supposed to always be depressed. And I know in Christendom, sometimes people go, well, you know, I'm against medication. Well, do you take multivitamins? Well, of course. Then think of this medication as simply vitamins for your brain. Some of us need vitamins for our brain, and that's okay. Now, Pooh's not going to be up there. Pooh is a healthy combination of all four of these characters, because everybody loves Pooh. Right? If you don't love Winnie the Pooh, there's something really wrong with you, and you must have been terrified by someone in a Halloween costume with Winnie the Pooh, and you have not got over it, but that's going to be okay. So what I want to do is I want to introduce you to yourself using these characters. Now, first and foremost, I want to introduce you to Owl. Now, if you're an owl, what you want in life is you want order, and this is what it looks like. You're systematic, you follow the rules, you're analytical, you seek conflict, you believe you're right, you're me-oriented, and details equal security. That order is simply this. You want everything in its place and a place for everything. You want to know who, what, where, when, and occasionally why. Not always why. A lot of times you don't want the commentary. Listen to the owls laughing. You don't want the commentary. What you want is you want somebody to come in and give you the details and then get out. Right? Why? Because they're systematic. What they do is they process this way. When they're going to make a decision, they do it very linearly. They go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. If you take the 2 out, they lose their mind. Where's the 2? Well, just go from 2 to 4. I can't. Where's the 3? Or where's the 2, rather? Just go. Where's the 2? Go from 1 to 3. I can't. Where's the 2? Just go from 1 to 3. Now, that's kind of mean because what you're telling an owl to do something that they're kind of incapable of doing, because here's the deal. An owl will look at that place where the missing 2 is and focus on that, and irregardless of the other numbers that are available to them. Why? Because they need that 2 to go from 1 to 3. And here's what's going on in the back of their mind. One of you lost the 2. One of you lost the 2, and if I look hard enough, I'll find it. Now, if you really want to help an owl out and you know that 2 is never coming back, what you have to say is this. Look, the 2 is never coming back. It is in the fires of Mount Doom with Mordor with a ring, okay? It went down with a ring and Gollum. 2 ain't coming back. And they can go from 2 to from 1 to 3. That's the why. Every now and then they want to know, but typically they don't want to know why. And they're very systematic. And not only are they systematic, they follow the rules. And owls follow the rules to a fault. And not only do they follow the rules, they want all the rest of the world to follow the rules too. They do. You know the person behind you in the grocery store is an owl. If you're standing in the 10 items or less lane and they tap you on the shoulder. Did you know you have 11 items in your cart? I counted. Yeah, those 2 milks right there, that's not like one item, that's like 2 separate, that's like 10 and 11. Yeah, go. Keep going. Yeah, next. I'm a Christian. I just wanted to be a blessing. Praise him. Owls aren't doing that to be a jerk. They're not. Owls are not doing that to be a jerk. They actually think that you are going to be grateful that you just embarrassed them in front of everybody else. Oh, thank you for telling me I screwed up. Because they follow rules, because they're systematic. They follow rules because they're analytical. They process with their head, not with their heart. Are they heartless? Absolutely not. We'll get into this a little bit deeper in a minute. But they process with their head. It's got to make sense in their head. That's why sometimes they will walk into your house and say things to you, unsolicited opinions that you didn't ask for. They'll walk into your house and go, I don't think I would have painted my living room this color. Well, that's a good thing it's not your living room then, isn't it? They don't mean to do this. This is just the way God made them, okay? They seek conflict. And what do I mean by that? It's that when people are breaking the rules, they go in and they insert themselves into the situation, which creates conflict. They're not being a jerk. God just made them this way. They believe they're right. Man, this is irritating. Do you know why owls think that they're right? Because they are. They've done the research. If you're married to an owl, what do they do before they buy something? They research it and research it and research it and research it and research it. And after they buy the darn thing, they keep researching to make sure they got a good deal? Really? It's the way God made it. And don't elbow each other. Your turn's coming. Don't even. There's this going on. I was like, just stop. Your turn's coming. That is so funny. They believe they're right because they are, because they've done the research. They're me-oriented. Now, listen to this. That sounds like they're very selfish and they're narcissistic. Absolutely not. They're me-oriented in this. Let me explain what I mean by that. They do not like a change of plans. They're very ordered. They're very systematic. They take time to make a decision. And so when there is a change of plans, they don't like it. You know you're married to an owl if your vacation to Disney World has an itinerary. There you go. There it is. There it is. Your turn's coming, hotshot. Okay. At 8:15, we're going to wake up. At 8:25, we're going to be in the lobby for the continental breakfast. At 8:35, we're going to be back in the room brushing our teeth. At 8:45, we're going to be on the shuttle. And at 9 o'clock, we're going to have fun, 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 fun. God forbid any of you start having fun before 9. It's not on the list. It's funny because it's true, right? If you want to have fun with an owl at work, if you know there's an owl at work, don't tell them that you're taking a coworker out to lunch until you're leaving. Walk into their office as everyone's exiting the office. Throw the birthday card down on their desk and go, quick, sign that for Sharon. We're taking her out for lunch for her birthday. You'll think they're having an aneurysm. because they're processing. They already had lunch plans. This is new. I've got lunch plans. It's in separate Tupperware containers in the break room refrigerator. It's labeled and dated and it has a note that says, don't touch because you people are always touching my stuff. And I know you lost it too. You're thinking, what is wrong with you? Nothing. That's just the way God made them. Isn't order a good thing? Everything should be done in decency and order. But here's the rub, little owl. When you want order more than you want relationships, when you make the people that work with you or live with you uncomfortable and can't touch anything and nothing can be out of place and everything has to be just so that you'll be happy, that's out of order, isn't it? People before things, people before paperwork. And if you want order, that's a great thing. Order is one of the, everything should be done in decency and order. But when you want order more than you want healthy relationships, you're what we call obsessive compulsive. Because what happens is, as you're trying to order your world, when you start ordering people, you actually create disorder in your relationships. The very thing you're going after is the very thing you're pushing people away from. And details equals security. Now, if you're married to an owl, let them know who, what, where, when, and sometimes why. And every now and then, let them know 3 weeks in advance that you're going to change the plans and submit it in triplicate. And then there's Piglet. This is probably the most dominant personality on the planet right now, Piglet. They want harmony. They want everybody to get along. And this is what it looks like. They're peacekeeping. They bend the rules. They're feeling-oriented. They dislike conflict. They may be right. They're others-oriented, and harmony equals safety. Now, they're not peacemakers. They're peacekeepers. There's a difference. We're called to be peacemakers. They're peacekeepers. Peacemakers go into conflict and resolve it. Peacekeepers tamp it down. They want everybody to stop fighting. Well, everybody's running to the car yelling, shotgun, shotgun. They're going, oh, backseat middle with my feet on the hump. So nobody will fight. They want everybody to get along. And so they'll bend the rules, not because they want to win, but because they don't want any of the rest of us to lose. You can thank Piglets for that participation trophy. Piglet came up with that. How many of you would watch the Stanley Cup if everybody got a trophy? Yay, everybody gets a trophy. Boy, what are we doing here? Why? Because they're feeling-oriented. They process with their heart first and then their head. Owl leads with his head or her head and follows with their heart. Piglet leads with his or her heart and then follows with their head. Very feeling-oriented. They have a very high emotional IQ. They really can relate to people. They dislike conflict, but here's the interesting thing about a piglet. They're not wimpy. They're actually quite brave because even though they dislike conflict, they will enter into it to tamp it down. It's pretty remarkable what they will do. Out of their own comfort zone, they will go in and try to tamp it down. And they may be right, but they won't tell you. In fact, if you're married to a piglet, they will never tell you what they want or where they want to go out to eat. You have to guess it, don't you? Let me explain. Hey, honey, you want to go out to dinner? Sure, that'd be great. Where do you want to go? Oh, I don't care, you pick. Well, how about this place? No. Well, then how about this place? No. I thought you didn't care. I don't. You have to guess it, don't you? We'll get into this a little bit deeper in a minute. They may be right, and there are others oriented to their own detriment. Piglets have a tendency sometimes to be so good at helping other people and taking care of other people that they stop taking care of themselves. You know you're on an airplane with a piglet if the oxygen masks fall, and they're putting oxygen masks on everybody on the plane, but they're not wearing one. It looks good, but it ain't good. Harmony equals safety. Now, harmony is a good thing. How wonderful it is when brothers dwell together in harmony, right? This looks good. But if you want harmony more than you want healthy relationships, if you want harmony more than true relationships, you're what we call a codependent. Because you will refuse to tell people the truth. You will apologize for things you didn't do just to make the harmony come back and the disharmony to stop. You will cover people's mistakes at work even though they should be held accountable for it. You don't allow them to be held accountable for their mistakes because you want harmony. And it's killing you inside. But piglets are wonderful when they're healthy. They're great caregivers. They're great teachers. They're great pastors. Man, owls, when they're healthy, oh man, you want your accountant to be an owl. They keep you out of prison. And you want your pilots and your air traffic controllers to be owls because they keep you out of the cemetery. Are you with me? So far, all these are really good. But there's also a side that if it gets unhealthy, it ain't healthy. And it ain't healthy not only for you, but the people around you. Well, then we got this guy, Rabbit. Everybody knows a rabbit because Rabbit wants control. A high rabbit is, if I want your opinion, I'll beat it into you. Thank you. This is what it looks like. They're highly competitive. They break the rules. They're analytical. They're always right. They endure a conflict. Others tolerant, and control equals self-worth. Rabbits hate to lose. Not only will they break the rules, they'll make up rules in the middle of the game you didn't even know about. Right? You're playing the game, and all of a sudden, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you, anybody from Atlanta gets 50 points. They'll accidentally kick the board game over that you're playing. Oh, I don't know where my piece was. I think it was up front. They break the rules. Why? Because they're analytical. The ends justify the means. They're going to get it done. We're going to get this task done. We're going to get it. Owl wants to get it done right. Rabbit wants to get it done now. Owl, cross every T, dot every I. Rabbit's like, forget that. We're going to get it done. Get it done right. Get it done now. Get it done right. Get it done now. Could you imagine these two people on a church staff together? They're going to kill each other. Can you imagine that in a marriage? Get it done right. Get it done now. They're always right, even when they're wrong. Here's the thing about rabbits are natural-born leaders. They're amazing. When they're healthy, man, they're amazing. But they're always right. In fact, when you go in and you call a rabbit, even if they're blatantly wrong and you try to call them on it, what will happen is they will convince you that down is up and up is down. And they will say things to you, and you'll confront them on something, on a project or something, and you're not being a jerk about it, but you're trying to confront them, and so that they always have to be right. They will say things that in the office make sense, but when you really break it down, it's like, absolutely not. And here it is. Here's one of those examples. Well, we're flying the plane while we're building it. How many of you would get on a plane where there's a mechanic on a wing going, I don't know if this is going to work, but good luck? We're flying the plane while we're building it. And that sounds motivational and, yeah, let's go on. I ain't getting on that plane. But rabbits are natural-born leaders, and so they're always right even when they're wrong. And they endure conflict. And what do I mean by that? An owl will seek it because things are going wrong, and they will enter in and create the conflict. Conflict is going on. Piglets don't like it, so they'll enter in to tamp it down. Rabbit doesn't want anything to do with it. I don't want that. It's not that I had other plans. It's just that I don't want to deal with it. I want to get this stuff done. But here's the deal. If conflict lands on their doorstep, buddy, they're taking over, and that's it. They don't want to deal with it. They're not looking for it. Oftentimes, they create it and then don't want to deal with it. But by golly gosh, when it comes down to their doorstep, okay, they're going to take over. And there are others tolerant. And what do I mean by that? Rabbits aren't the best teachers on the planet. It's just part of who they are, okay? I'm not picking on them, but rabbits aren't the best teachers in the world. Let me explain what I mean by that. And I'm going to be real serious here again. Sometimes I have to qualify because I use a lot of humor at times. God bless you. Just saving marriages one sneeze at a time. Yeah, that's me. Yeah. You're welcome. Some of you in this room are adults and you're grown-ups. And you still, if Satan wanted to kick your butt, he'd have to get in line behind you because you're doing it for him. Because you think there's something wrong with you because you should have learned to know how to do something by now. And something as silly as this, I don't know how many of you know how to use technology, but sometimes I've seen people with their iPhone hand it to their grandkid and go, here, can you fix this for me? I'm like, yeah, Grandpa, boom, here you go, right? But some people actually, and I'm 60, there are people my age, older and younger, that will say, oh, I never learned how to do this, and I'm incapable of learning how to do that, and I can never do math, and I can never do that. And I want you to stop for a second. Please stop kicking your butt for 1 second, and let me ask you a very serious, serious question. Because rabbits want to get it done now, and they want to get it done not necessarily the right way, but their way, is there a possibility that those of you have shamed yourself and spoken negative things to yourself, were simply taught in your formative years to learn something that you didn't know how to do, and you still don't know how to do it, is the reason that you may not know how to do it now is that you were taught by a rabbit. Because while you were trying to learn how to do it, the rabbit teaching, you said, move, I'll do it. And what if you're a little rabbit? Can you see the conflict that's there? You want to do it. You want to have control. And all of a sudden, you think, I can't do this. So many times, it's how we, in our unhealthy side, can affect other people for generations and years. So there are others tolerant. And control equals self-worth. Now, is control a good thing? Absolutely. In fact, isn't self-control one of the fruits of the Spirit? But controlling others is not. Now, you can control situations and get everybody out alive, but when you start controlling people, what you actually try to do is you create relationships that are out of control. And when you want control, and when you want it your way, more than you want relationships, I got a hard word for you. That's what we call a narcissist. Because your way is the only way, and it's the right way, and you're not even considering anybody else. But rabbits, when they're healthy, oh my gosh, they are incredible. They are the best coaches because they will get players to do things they never dreamed they could do. They're great pastors. They can take a dead church and bring it back to life, because what they do is they get about building people instead of building buildings. And pastors that are rabbits are amazing when they're healthy. One more. Tigger. You know what Tigger wants? Tigger doesn't want order. Tigger doesn't want harmony. Tigger doesn't want control. Tigger wants fun. Bouncy, 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 fun, 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 fun. The most wonderful thing about Tigger is when they finally leave your house. Right? Because they're kind of spastic and like, ah, you're pretty funny. Leave. Right? And this is how a Tigger operates. They're highly impulsive. They're rules, what rules? They're feeling oriented. They're occasionally right. They hate conflict. They need others. And being special equals security. Now, here's the deal. When you have a party and you have a Tigger that says, hey, I'm coming, and they don't show up, and you've kind of gotten used to it, it's like, oh, they're never going to show up. You're thinking, well, what's wrong with them? Well, there's really nothing wrong with them. I'm just going to tell you something. The reason that they didn't show up at your party that night was you weren't the last person to ask them to come to a party. The most important person to a Tigger in the world is the person they're currently talking to. And they have the inability of saying no to them. They can't do it because they want to have fun, they want to be spontaneous, and they want to be liked. And what happens is they will overcommit and underdeliver. And what happens is Tiggers are often considered to be fake, phony, insincere, when the truth is they're just really impulsive. They're like an emergency room doctor. Whoever's in front of them is the most important person on the planet. They're really good about making people feel really good, but they're really bad about following up on their promises, okay? The rules, what rules? Now, Tiggers like to win because winning is fun, but they just like playing the game. So if you're a serious golfer, please don't take a Tigger with you and think you're going to have a good time, because you'll be like, hey, dude, you're in my sight line. And they'll start making up songs. I'm in your sight line. I'm in your sight line. Dude, really? I'm going to kill you. He's going to kill me. He's going to, right? It's funny because it's true. You know these people, they cannot take anything seriously. They're feeling oriented. Highest emotional IQ on the planet. Tiggers have the highest emotional IQ of anybody on the planet. What they do when they walk into a room, it's called scanning. And what they do is they walk into a room and they figure out very quickly who likes them and who doesn't like them. And who do you think they go to perform for? The people that don't like them. They want to win them over. They got to get their acceptance. It's got to be fun. It's crazy. And they only make it worse. They're occasionally right, right? Even a blind squirrel finds an acorn. Do not poke your husband. Stop it. They hate conflict. They hate conflict. They hate conflict so much that they disappear when it's going on, because there's nothing fun about conflict. When there is conflict, they will check out. If you're married to a Tigger and you're having conflict, they pull in and they go away because they can't. It's not fun anymore. They don't want to deal with it, okay? And they need others. They absolutely have to have other people around them, because there's what's the fun of playing golf and you hit a hole in one? You go, man, I got a hole in one, and you're the only one on the course. A hole in one, I got a hole in one, and then you run and you tell your friends, hey, I got a hole in one. Yeah, you said you were going to be at my party too. Being special equals security. Now, if you're a Tigger, that fun thing, man, the body of Christ needs some fun. We need to be accepting of one another. In fact, I'll tell you something. I'll bet that if you thought about it, your favorite teacher when you were growing up was a Tigger. You know why? Because they made you feel special and they made learning fun. See how that works? But if you want fun at the expense of relationships, if you want fun and adventure and all that stuff, at the expense of being true to your word, you also have a tendency to be codependent and susceptible to addictive behaviors. Because what happens is you want everybody to like you, so you can't tell anybody the word no. I'd love to come to your party, but I can't because I've already committed to six others. Now, you're probably wondering, well, which one am I? See, when you were talking, there was a little, I kind of got a little bit of each one, but I can't figure out which one. Well, let me see if I can help you. When it comes to making a decision, are you ready aim, or are you ready fire aim? We'll fix it on the way. Or are you like, is everyone okay with this? Or are you like, we have a gun? Can I see it? Never give a Tigger a gun. Never. When it comes to dealing with people, are you like, oh, people, oh, all right, okay. Or are you immediately, they're in my way. Or are you like, they need me. Or are you like, people? Party! Let me see if I can help you. This simplifies it a little bit more. If you're an owl, you're a slow processor, but you're cool toward people. What do I mean by that? If you're going to process a purchase, don't you think it's going to make sense that you're going to process a person? If you're going to invest your financial goods into a purchase, don't you think you're going to take time to, when you are going to invest your emotional and mental and spiritual goods into another person? It's actually pretty wise when you think about it. See, owls are kind of on their back foot when it comes to relationships, too. They're kind of like, you know, head before heart, right? You follow what I'm saying? And owls get a bad rap sometimes for being aloof and they don't like people and everything. And really, they're slow to process. They're checking you out. But then you've got Piglet, who is also a slow processor, but warm toward people. Now, how can that be? They process exactly the same, but it's for a different reason. See, it's not how somebody behaves as much as why they do it that way. You see, an owl is a slow processor because they want to get it right. Piglet is a slow processor because they want to make sure, because they're warm to people, that it's okay with everybody else. You see how that works? That's why Piglet is always the last one to order. When you're in a group for a lunch or dinner, the last person that orders is either a Piglet or a Tigger. The Piglet wants to make sure that that's... And the Tigger wants to see what everybody else is having, right? And they can order the one thing that everybody kind of liked the most, you know? It's just they're always, rabbit, order. Owl, order. Piglet and Tigger, take a little bit of time. Rabbit is a fast processor and cool toward people. Let's get it done, get it done, get it done, get it done. They will blow you up. To get a project done, they will absolutely mow you over. But then they'll send you a thank you note and a gift basket. And you're like, what? Now, an owl will never send you a thank you note in a gift basket because you were just doing your job and we're over budget. But a rabbit will absolutely kick your behind and then thank you for a job well done. They're cool toward people. People kind of get in their way. And then you've got a Tigger who's a fast processor and warm toward people. Very spontaneous. Okay, so you could see how a Tigger and an owl would have some problems. Okay, if they were in a relationship together, because they're a fast processor and warm to appeal, they want everybody to get along and everybody to get on the party, and oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Hey, this is going to be fun. Okay, well, let me show it to you on this way real quick. You've got owl and rabbit who are both cool toward people, okay, but they process totally differently. You've got owl and piglet who process the same, but they're different in the way they are toward people. You come around the horn, you've got a Tigger who is like Piglet with people, but he processes like Rabbit. And Rabbit, although he processes like Tigger, he treats people like Owl does. Well, you're probably wondering, well, which one am I? Well, let me see if I can help you out. When everything's going to hell in a handbasket, what do? When everything's going wrong, now, do you start cleaning and organizing and purging? When everything's going wrong at work, do you come home and a messy house sends you over the edge and you start kicking butt and taking names? then you're probably an owl because you're looking for some order because seemingly there's none in your life. Do you slam your fist in a meeting or at a dinner table and walk out and go, that's just the way it is? Then you're probably a rabbit because with everything just so messed up in your life, all you want is a little bit of control. And even if you hurt other people, you're going to get it because you need it. Or maybe you lay awake at night and there's things going on at your church or in your family or in your business, and you decide that you're going to cover up somebody else's mistakes or you're going to apologize for things that you did not do just to make it go away. Then you're probably a piglet because your pain is what drives you to manifest your core personality. And if you're having all kind of problems in your home and nothing's going right and you're driving home on your way home from work, you can't listen to the radio, you can't listen to a teaching tape, and you certainly can't listen to silence. But you're on the phone talking to friend after friend after friend, looking to see what's going on, see if there's a party going on. And if there's not a party going on, you go spend money you don't have. Because you want to have fun, you got to medicate it somehow. And some of you are probably wondering, well, which one am I? Still can't tell. Well, let me see if I can help you out in real time. How many of you noticed in the second half of this event, I have unsuccessfully tried to button my coat and it's bothering you? Can I see your hands? Say hello to the owls in the room. Is he going to button it? Is he going to button it? He's got it. Is he going to button it? And while I was talking, as soon as I reached for my button, you'd focus on my button again. Is he going to button? Is he going to get it this time? Is he going to get it? How many of you want to come up here and button it for me? Hi, rabbit. How many of you want to come take my coat from me? I'll take your coat. How many of you are sitting there thinking, oh, that poor thing, has he gained weight and he doesn't realize it? Hi, piglet. And how many of you are going, oh, you're wearing a coat? Hi, Tigger. How many of you, that white box is driving you absolutely nuts? How many of you it's got your teeth on edge? Hi, owl. How many of you want to come up to me after the show and tell me how to fix that? Hi, rabbit. How many of you are going, does he not notice that? Is he okay? Does he not notice that? And how many of you are going, what white box? Hi, Tigger. Isn't that funny? You thought you were something else, didn't you? Didn't you? Because while I'm appealing to your head, your heart and who you really are is going to come flying out. I was in Toronto one night, and a guy walks up to me at the intermission, and he says, are you, and it was a Christian event, he walks up to me, and he says, are you ever going to button your effing coat? And he said the word. Coat. And he said, are you ever going to button your coat? And I went, are you going to be here in the second half of the show? And he went, yeah. And I said, good. And there were about, this was at a marriage thing, and there were like, 2,000 people there. And so I'm looking for him, and I finally see him. So when I do the thing, and I walk right over to his side of the stage, and I said, how many of you have noticed that I've unsuccessfully tried to button my coat? And it's bothering me. He raises his hand, and I said, how you doing, Al? And he goes, oh, and he puts his head in his hands. Well, he and his wife walk up to me afterwards, and this was the best part. The whole time they were talking, or I was talking, she was going, you're an owl. And he goes, no, I'm not. And when I got around to Tigger, he goes, I'm a Tigger. And when I said, how you doing, owl, he went, and he said this out loud, he goes, oh, my God, I'm an owl. Because if I just appeal to your head, if you're not feeling it, you're not getting that. I wanted to make your stomach upset. I wanted some of you to get so kind of like, gosh, stop it. Stop. Just do it. Would you just do it? Would you just do it? And what happens is I can pick out the owls because as soon as I do it, they start looking. And they start looking. And then I can tell the rabbits because they're like, oh, really? And I can see the piglets like, oh, are you nervous? Right? Is that a nervous tick? We love you, Steve. We're Canadians. We love everybody. And the rest of you in the room are going, there's 17 lights. There's 2 ceiling tiles. There's 4 speakers. Right. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? This started when you were a kid. You have been hardwired this way since you were born. Let me show you what I mean by that. Say you've got two little ones at home. You've got Allison, who's the older sister, and Brandon, who's the little brother. Allison comes tearing down the stairs one morning and says, Mom, Dad, Brandon was in my room and he messed it up and he tore everything up. And would you just tell him to stop and tell him to stay out of my room? And here comes Brandon down the stairs and he's got Barbie underwear on each ear, you know, and he's like, hey, I'm a Martian, you know. And you're like, you try to parent and you go, hey, Allison, listen, honey, you and Brandon are siblings. You know, your brother and sister, Mommy and Daddy aren't going to be around forever. And you need to learn how to get along. You need to learn how to navigate this thing, baby. And what you need to do is realize that he loves you and he's just trying to have fun. So let your brother, you know what you just told Allison? That her need for order is not important to you and Brandon. Your favorite. Now, how many of you would like to have a word with one of your children right about now? How much more does your Heavenly Father want to have a word with you? I made you this way. I made you to desire order because I want to bring order into this world. And I'm sorry that it wasn't recognized when you were a child, so you had to fight for it, and you got called all kinds of names, anal retentive. And all kind of stuff, and that's never what I intended. I wanted people to understand that you needed order, and now you're having to fight for it in your marriage. That's never what I wanted. I know I created you to bring harmony, and because there was so there was no harmony in your home growing up, that you sought other ways to try to bring harmony, and you actually started harming yourself by allowing people to mistreat you and enable people to do bad things, and you're and enabling bad behavior in other people that you tolerate, but you would never tolerate in yourself. And now you're doing it in your marriage. I'm sorry, I never wanted you to do that. I know that I created you to be in control. I created you to be a leader. I created you to be a leader so that you could help other people fulfill their destinies and do what they're supposed to do, and to be a coach and to be a teacher, to be a pastor, to be a business person. But everybody started calling you bossy and, you know, the king or the queen. And you had to fight for it, and now you're having to fight for it in your marriage. And you know what? I created you to be a lot of fun. And you are a lot of fun. And I'm sorry that it wasn't recognized in your family because fun wasn't allowed and joking wasn't allowed. And so what you had to do was endure being called spastic and a phony and a fake, and when are you going to grow up? And now you're having to battle that same thing in your marriage. Wow. You see how he wants to talk to you? To tell you, I love you. I love you. You know you're married to an owl if you load the dishwasher and they reload it? Because they're going to organize it, right? Forks go here, spoons go here. But did you know a piglet will reload it too? Because the blue plates are a family and they need to be together. See, it's not what they do, it's why they do it. Do you know a rabbit will reload the dishwasher? Not to make it organized or anything, it's just to prove that they can get more in there. A rabbit will stick a bicycle in there just to prove a point. I told you I could get more in there. Now, a tigger, if they discover that you have a dishwasher, will just take the stack of plates and just set it in there willy-nilly and kick the door shut with their foot and go, wow, it's a magic box. Let me see if I can help you out with this. A lot of times, the biggest problems I have in marriage counseling with couples is when an owl marries a tigger and a rabbit marries a piglet. Now, we already started this one. Hey, honey, you want to go out to dinner tonight? Sure, that'd be great. Where do you want to go? I don't care. You pick. Well, how about this place? No. Then how about this place? No. Then how about this place? Why are you getting so mad? Why can't you make up your mind? Why are you being so mean? Why are you being so spineless? Are you arguing about the restaurant? No, you're arguing about the way you process. Rabbit, slow down. Piglet, speak up. Slow down, rabbit. Piglet, speak up. Because what happens is if you keep doing this and you don't talk about it and deal with it, what's going to happen is maybe one time rabbit overrode piglet. Maybe one time piglet said, hey, I want to go here, but rabbit said no, but didn't tell piglet why. You see, it's this much principle. What rabbit didn't tell piglet was that, oh, I know about that restaurant. They had an outbreak of food poisoning, but because they wanted to eat and get it done, they didn't tell piglet this much. So piglet filled in the gap and said, they're trying to control me. They don't love me. They don't care about me. When the truth is, God bless you. Man, I'm saving marriages all night. Here we go. The truth of the matter is, Rabbit really does love you, but Rabbit's a rabbit and didn't tell you, and you filled in the blank. And you think that Rabbit is controlling and doesn't care about you. See how this works. Then we're not going to talk about this much, and then we're not going to talk about this much. Tigger and Owl, this is a fun one. Strap it on, folks. Here we go. Honey, get dressed. I'm picking you up in 15 minutes. We're going out to dinner tonight with Mark and Michelle. No, we're not. We're working on the taxes tonight. The taxes, since when? Since 3 weeks ago. It's on the calendar. We have a calendar? Can I see it? Why are you so irresponsible? Why are you such a party poop? When are you going to grow up? Why do you hate Mark and Michelle? Are you arguing about Mark and Michelle? Absolutely not. You're arguing about how you'd process going out to dinner with them. Tiggers are impulsive. Tigger sees Mark and Michelle at the grocery store. It's like, hey, yeah, haven't seen you in a long time. How's it going? Yeah, dinner tonight? Sure, that'd be great. Listen to me. Tiggers, listen to me. Tiggers, look at me. Tiggers, stop texting. Look at me. Stop checking scores. Tigger, look at me. If someone asks you to do something, Tigger, look up again. Come on, here we go. If someone asks you in the absence of your spouse to do something for the love of Mike and all that is holy, call home first. Because you don't know anything. All you know is that it's dark time. Hey, honey, yeah, I'm at the grocery store. I ran into Mark and Michelle. Yeah, I was wondering if we weren't doing anything for dinner tonight, if you wanted to... No, honey, I didn't forget. Dude, I got to go home. It's Christmas. Yeah, honey, I got the turkey in the basket, and I got the wrapping paper. It's funny because it's true. You know these people. You told them 15 minutes ago, and now they've already forgotten because there's a new shiny object in their way. Now, Owl goes and sees to the grocery store and runs into Mark and Michelle. And is like, oh, dinner, that'd be great. We love you guys. Out comes the iPhone. Out comes the Android. Yeah, let me send you an Evite. I'll set a reminder to send to you. I might even maybe suggest what you should wear. You're not fighting about Mark and Michelle. You're fighting about when you're going to go see them and the process by which you do it. You see, all of us have this in our marriage. Every single one of us do. These are issues. Now, this clear bottle, right? Everybody knows from where you're sitting. What am I holding? A water bottle, right? And then it is clear water. You can see it, I can see it. And I'm going to let this clear water bottle represent issues in our marriage, because we all have them. We all have issues in our marriage. And as long as you and I are looking at these issues from the proper perspective, you can see that it's a water bottle, I can see that it's a water bottle. But if I start looking through the issues, I can't see straight anymore. Everything is refracted. It's still clear, but the curvature of the bottle and the water that's in it makes everything just totally distorted. And when you look through the issues in your marriage at your spouse, everything gets distorted. And your spouse and everybody that's telling you that you're not in a good place are wrong. Because they're the issue. It sure ain't me. How many of you have issues in your marriage, but instead of saying that's the issue, you're my best friend, that's the enemy, it's not you? How many of us have made the mistake of looking at our spouse through the issues? What do we do now, Steve? Go home. No. I want to facilitate a conversation with you, but before I do that, I'm going to show you something. What does Owl seek? Order. Well, if you are an owl and you seek order, let me give you some homework. This is something that you need to work on, Mercy. That others aren't going to always follow the rules and they aren't always going to get it right. And if you want to grow as an owl, then you need to consider mercy as a part of your life. What did Piglet want? What? Harmony. Well, Piglet, I hate to break it to you, but if you want to get better at this, you need to add truth to your life. You've got to be willing to tell people the truth even though it hurts them. Because here's the deal. If you will tell them the truth and it may hurt their feelings in the long run, it will bring them no harm. A doctor's Hippocratic oath is to do no harm. I'm going to have to cut you open, but I'm not going to harm you. I'm going to hurt you, but I'm not going to harm you. What did Rabbit need? Control, right? If you're a rabbit and you want to get better at this and be in more relationship, you've got to add trust to the component. You know why rabbits always drive? Because they don't trust the other people driving. Simple as that. It's not about being a jerk. It's just that they don't trust other people's driving. If you're a rabbit here tonight, let your piglet drive home. Look at it. No, it'd take too long. Yeah, see? Yeah. Oh, you're going to Phoenix for that. Okay, so that was a Sunday morning thing we did. Remember, Tigger wanted fun? Well, if you're a Tigger, you know what you need to add to your life? Discipline. Man, I hate to be you. I hope you went, yeah, instead of, yeah. Here's what I'd like you to do. Guys, if you are married and your wife's here tonight, or you're engaged, and or you've got somebody here you're dating, and it's gotten to be a serious place. Guys, would you put your arm around her? Just put your arm around your wife or your fiance. This would be a good time to get up and go sit by her, too. That's it's kind of a good thing to do. There you go. Switch over. There you go. Now, guys, what I want you to do is I want you to look her in the eye and do not look up at me again. Just look her right in the eye. Don't look at me. Eyes on her, ears on me. Do not look away from her. Look her right in the eye. Don't look at her boobies. That'll come later, okay? If you do this right, you are going to get lucky. Look her right in the eye and look at the color of her eye. Look at the iris. Look at the pupil. Look at everything. And don't try to be funny and go, when did you start wearing glasses? Just shut up. Now, keep looking at her. Just stare into her eyes and just look. Now, I'm going to make you keep doing it. Now, keep doing it. Now, if you start to giggle or anything, that's fine. That's kind of cute. Just go ahead and giggle away, all right? And here's what you're going to do, guys, is I'm going to have you say something. Eyes on her, ears on me. I'm going to have you say something to her, and I'm going to break it down in little short sentences, and then you're going to repeat after me. But basically, what you're going to say is this. Sweetheart, honey, brick house, whatever you call her, I celebrate the fact that God created you to be, and you're going to pick one of these characters. And ladies, don't correct him. Just let him guess. And don't go, I'm an owl. Trust me, we all know you're an owl. Sweetheart, honey, I celebrate the fact that God created you to be. And then you're going to fill in the blank, and then you're going to say, and I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to figure you out. And we're going to have joy on this journey because I love you very much. Okay, ready? Now, you're going to say it out loud. All the guys are going to do it and say it out loud and repeat after me. Go ahead and address your sweetheart. Say, honey, darling, brick house, whatever you call her. Say it out loud. I celebrate the fact that God created you to be. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to figure you out. And we're going to have joy on this journey because I love you very much. Now, break eye contact just for a second. Ladies, look up here. I want you to do me a favor. I don't want you to put your arm around your husband or your fiancé or your boyfriend. What I want you to do is take your free hand and ride it up his thigh. Put it and then ride it up. Don't go too far. You know what I mean. But when your thumb or your pinky hits the crease, stop. Now, give him a little squeeze. Just don't hurt him. Just let him know that you're there. Now, look him in the eye. Look him right in the eye. And he's probably still looking at your hand going, thank you, Jesus. Hey, Mark, can Steve come back next week? Can we do this again? Now look him right in the eye and giggle if you have to. Just look him. Don't say anything yet. And those of you Tiggers that keep talking, shut up until I tell you to. You're ruining it for everybody else, okay? Look at your spouse right in the eye. Look at your husband or your boyfriend or fiance, and you're going to say something a little bit similar. You're going to say, sweetheart, honey, he-man, macho man, whatever you call him, high sailor, whatever you call him, whatever works. I celebrate the fact that God created you to be, and remember, horse's rear end is not a choice. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to figure you out, too. I look forward to joy on this journey because I love you very much. Okay, ready? Here we go. Address your husband or your boyfriend, fiance, sweetheart, honey. I celebrate the fact that God created you to be, and I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to figure you out, too. And I look forward to joy in this journey because I love you very much. Now, kiss your spouse on the mouth like you did on your wedding day, or back to, if you're dating, your first passionate kiss. Go. And if you used your tongue, go ahead. We've got time. Just, it's all right. Just get up in there. Get up in there. Take some time. Now, why did I do that? Here's the deal. I am tired of telling people all this information and walking out and not letting them feel anything that we talked about and not knowing what to do. When is the last time you looked in each other's eyes like that and didn't say anything? When's the last time you just stopped in the busyness of life and just looked in each other's eyes? When's the last time you said that something that kind and loving and affirming? When is the last time you looked at your spouse, looked at them in the eye and said, I love you very much, instead of love you, love you, love you? When's the last time you made out? In church, no less. Right? You have to go back to youth group days and you were sneaking it, right? Why? Because I want you to feel it. I want you to get this with all that is from the bottom of my pancreas. I want you to get this. The heart is deceitfully wicked, right? The pancreas is off, you know, it's not mentioned, so here we go. And people always want to know at the end of the night, what am I? What do you think I am? Which one do you think I am? Rabbit? Tigger? Here we go. I'm a piglet. I am a card-carrying, recovering piglet. 15 years ago, my codependency almost destroyed our marriage. Neither one of us were unfaithful, but I would not tell Kathy the truth because I was afraid. When you're sexually abused as a child, you have no boundaries. And I desperately didn't want her to leave, so I didn't want her to ever be mad at me. So I would tell her what I thought she wanted to hear, and she would get so frustrated because all she wanted to hear was the truth. And what happened was my codependency almost destroyed us. But I got healing and I got help. And that's part of why I wrote this thing, so people could get help. But Steve, you act like a Tigger. Exactly. Because some of you are one way at work and another way at home, aren't you? Some of you have to be a rabbit at work, but that's not who you really are. You're having to act out of a place that's really not your wheelhouse, but you do it because you've learned to be. See, we can operate in all of these things. The goal is to be a little bit of everything. Some of you are a piglet at home, but man, you're an owl at work. It's amazing. You're really complicated. You're fascinating. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Why? Well, let me remind you of this. For you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works in which he has prepared in advance for you to do. You belong here. You're somebody. You are so valuable. I wish I had a magic wand and could wave it over you to help you all understand how valuable you are, but I can't. But there is a magic book. It's called the Bible. And when you read it, it will either offend you or it will encourage you. You will either obey it or you will reject it. And here's the deal. It's your choice. That's how wonderful God is. He loves you so much that he says, you can reject me. Wouldn't it be amazing if God used your marriage to help you understand him a little bit better? He created marriage before he created the church, didn't he? And yet church sometimes blows up marriage because people hide their marriage problems in the church. I don't want that for you. I want you to be fulfilled in your marriage because first and foremost, you know that you're loved and you're worth something and your spouse is too. Okay? Can I pray for you guys? Is that cool? All right. Father, thank you that every rabbit in this room and every owl in this room are going to wait and walk to the car with their piglet or their tigger. They're not going to go out there and warm up the car while their tigger or their piglet says goodbye. They're going to start right now. They're going to put this little thing into practice. They're going to walk out together. And Piglet and Tigger, you're just going to shut up and leave with them. Because what's most important now is not what just happened here, but what's going to happen in your car. The conversations that you're going to have. Hey, do you want to go somewhere to eat? Sure, that'd be great. Well, where do you want to go? Piglet, tell them the truth. I know you don't like it, but I want to go to Tim Hortons and get a Canadian maple. Okay. It's going to start when all of a sudden you realize, you know what, baby, I'm sorry. You know, I have been looking at you through the issues, and I'm sorry. I don't want to do that anymore. Sweetheart, you know that thing that we talked about tonight where there's a little bit, and you know what? I'm scared because the gap's bigger than I'm comfortable with. Can we shrink the gap down? Can I share some things with you? Can I tell you some things? I really don't like the way you make coffee. I love you, but your coffee's horrible. Can you let me make the coffee? It's something as simple as that. Father, thank you that right now there are couples that the light's coming on, maybe for the first time, that it's okay to be different. They can celebrate the differences. And then, God, what you have put together, that no one should separate. And so, Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the people that are willing to come in here and invest in their marriages. I pray, Lord, that you would be in their cars, in their homes, and in their conversations as they walk this out and to learn how to love each other. And I pray that you would restore some marriages tonight. I pray that marriages are doing really good, that instead of just sitting back, you would take the next step and then start investing in other people's marriages. Maybe start a marriage class at your church. I pray for the couples here tonight that are doing okay, but they just needed some tools. But tonight, maybe they got some tools in their tool belt, and they're going to learn how to use them and work on their marriage. But Lord, tonight, there's people in this room that they need a miracle. Because it's a miracle that they're in the same room right now. And I don't hand out miracles, Father, but I know that you do. And maybe the start of the miracle is that they actually had their arms around each other. And maybe reluctantly, but maybe even though reluctantly, they said, I love you very much. God, restore marriages that need to be restored. Encourage marriages that need to be encouraged. And Lord, just marriages that are doing great, Lord, let them be a lesson to the rest of us. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys very much. This has been a lot of fun. And Mark, I love you. I'll see you when I get back. Okay, man.
Let's give him a hand. How many of you learned something tonight? Oh, four. Good. Good. Four people. It is always a pleasure to have Steve and Rob come, and it was a great night. I actually wanted to show you how to fix the box around the rabbit. Michelle kind of nudged me a little bit, so I'm going to have her write that all up for you and send it to you in an email. Anyways, we want to thank you for coming tonight. You know what? We want to do more of these things because we believe in relationships. We believe in healthy relationships, and it's so easy, like Steve said, for us to kind of grow apart, and we don't want that to happen. And it was great to have young adults here too tonight that either are in a relationship or are looking to become eventually in a relationship, and it's good for them to see this happen. This is healthy. This is a good thing. And so we're so glad that you came, that everyone came. So I want to, again, thank you for being here and investing in your own relationships. If there's something that you need from the church and you want to talk about that, you want to build your marriage, we do a thing. It's called Prepare and Enrich. The prepare part is for those that are engaged, that are looking to get married, and it's just a questionnaire that helps do some, and it talks about a lot of this stuff as well. We want to somehow work that in. If you want to do that, come see me. We can sort that out. If you are already married and have been married, you want to do Enrich. Michelle and I have done it. We found out how great of a marriage we had, so, you know, it was great. No, it's a joke. She and I, we still want to work on things. I am not perfect. I know it's a surprise to most of you, but I'm not. It's true. I'm not. And so we worked out, we did the questionnaire, we did it ourselves and discussed it, and it was really good. It was there's things I've been doing for a long time that I have to work on, and we all have to do that. So I want to encourage you to think about that. That's something that we have for you here. Thanks for coming. Have yourself a great night, and we'll see you next week. God bless you.